prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. You know, we pray for a lot of things, and God says for us to make our prayers request be known unto God. But I think in those, we ought to have a lot more praise than we have requests. Amen? And, you know, I have a good friend in Toledo, Joe Tutak, and we need to pray for these men in Chrysler and Chevrolet and Ford. They don't know about their pensions. They don't know what's going on anymore. And, you know, but you know what? We're in God's hands no matter what. Brother Coolidge, we're in God's hands. I've talked to the Lord. I prayed for you and Robin, and we're concerned about these things. But you know what, folks? No matter what, we're with the Lord. And, but we, you know what? No matter how bad it is, you can always see some good. And Brother Joe sent me this. This Rick Warren is an evangelical preacher. I'm not promoting Rick Warren. Matter of fact, if you saw, you might have saw him when they during the debates. They had the couple. They met one time at his church. It runs about 22,000. Very large church. He's an evangelical. They're off on the scriptures. He talks about Jesus, but when you study, they're not fundamental, but they have good intentions, okay? But good intentions don't get you to heaven. But Roy Jones, my preacher, years ago said, I had a book when I went to Bible college. Dr. Brooke had me read a book. So I want us to look at this tonight, and look at the top of your paper. In the interview with you'll enjoy this insight of Rick Warren. He and his wife's dying of cancer, by the way. And in the interview, Paul Bradshaw with Rick Warren, here's what he said. Now, look how many got this right here. Okay, let's look at the first things. People ask me, I just thought this was a great opening line. People ask me, what is the purpose of life? Matter of fact, I might run this off and give it to the jail ministry next week, along with some other stuff. People ask me, what's the purpose of life? And I responded in a nutshell, life is a preparation for eternity. And it is. Look up here. Life is a preparation for eternity. Amen? We're not made to last forever, and God wants us to be in heaven with Him. I thought of Amos, you know, I thought about statements I've made over the years preaching. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. And so we ought to be preparing. Of course, the preparation, number one preparation of knowing Christ as your Savior, must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. But I noted, you know, Amos in Amos 4:12 said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Amos 4:12 in the Old Testament. And so, Brother Jack, the Bible tells us, prepare to meet thy God. People ought to be working on preparing to meet God. By the way, no one's prepared to meet him unless they know Christ is their Savior. Amen? And Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I do, I'll come again and receive to myself, that where I am there you may be also. So look up here. Number one, Eddie, now is life a preparation for heaven. Heaven's preparing for us. Amen? And so make sure you're on the road of preparation, and that preparation is, number one, putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Then look at the next thing. One day my heart is going to stop, and that will be the end of my body, but not the end of me, and that's the truth. We don't die. We just go on. We live forever, either heaven or hell. And put down here 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Have you fought the good fight? Are you keeping the faith? Have you finished your course? That's what Paul said in Timothy. He said, man, I'm not ashamed to meet Christ. I'll tell you what, Brother Billy, I want to just keep on keeping on for Jesus. And Brother Mike, when that day comes, I hope I can say like the Apostle Paul, I fought a good fight. How many want to keep the faith and keep a good fight? So when you see Christ, they'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Who can say amen? Amen. Then he says, if I may live 60 to 100 years on earth, but I'm going to spend trillions. Think about this. Life is but a vapor, the Bible says in James. I think it's 114, 112. Life is but a vapor. We're just here for a vapor of a time, here and gone. Even if you live to be 100 years old, I was thinking about Rosie. I think Tammy brought some pictures of me and Rosie. She brought our wedding pictures here last week or something. Annie was telling me about it. And boy, I wish you could all see them. You could see what I used to look like. Those are the good old days. But, you know, we're just passing through. And we got married 39, going on 40 years now in June. And it just seems like it was yesterday. Some of you that have been married for, it doesn't, David and Ruth, how many years have you been married, Ruthie? 53 years. And so, but I bet you, if you and David can remember when you first got, it seems like, boy, just like yesterday. And time goes by fast. Carl and Mary. Mary, how many years you and Carl been married? 62 years. That's older than preacher. But if you talk to Carl and Mary, it just seems like it's gone by just like that. Because I don't care how long you live in this life, life is but a vapor. And we're just here for a short time. There's Bud and Marty, both 80s, in their 80s. God's blessing with good health. And praise. But if you talk to Bud and Marty, they could tell you when they were kids, it just seems like yesterday, Bud was playing ball. He was a good ball player, a catcher and stuff. And Bud could tell you all, we love going to Akron games. We reminisce about our days when we were kids playing baseball. We love to be on the ball diamond. It's great. It makes us think we were kids again. Oh, I wish we were. Take me out to the ball game. Give me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if we ever come back. Amen. Amen. And so, but you know what? When you talk, it just seemed like yesterday you were behind that catcher, behind their catching, and now those days are gone. Life is short, isn't it? So, but eternity is going to be forever. So, should we be focused on temporal, or should our focus be on eternal? Our main focus should be on eternal. And I may live to 60 and 100 years on earth, but I'm going to spend trillions. Isn't that amazing? Trillions. And by the way, he wrote that before they spend the trillions of dollars up there in the government. Trillions of, and I just wish I was getting some of it. Makes me mad that we don't get some of it. I'd like to have a million for me. Amen. I'd like to have a million for Bethel. And I'm going to spend trillions of years in eternity. And this is just a warm-up and a dress rehearsal. God wants us to practice on earth what we do forever in eternity. You know, when you read Matthew 6:10, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God says, hey, live down here like you're going to know it's going to live up there. Amen? Can anyone say amen? Then we are made by God. We are made by God and for God. Look at Colossians. I love this scripture. And I thought, wow, what a preaching thing on this. Look at Colossians. I love that scripture. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Colossians in the New Testament. Colossians 1, 16. For by him were all things created. Talking about Jesus. Jesus is a creator. For by him were all things created, and that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him, and what? Yeah, listen, we were created for God's pleasure. God created us. We ought to live to please him. We're his creation. By the way, he purchased us on the cross too, didn't he? Not only did he create us, but then he bought us again, bought us back. And so we ought to. By the way, by him all things consist. Boy, the atheist, Brother Mark, the atheist better hope that God never ceased to be. If he ever does, we're gone. All the creation, all everything, zap, nothing. Blackness of nothing. Hello, even outer space would be gone. Woo! All the moons, the stars, the planets, by him all things consist. It'd be all gone, void. That's why the Bible says only a fool said in heart there's no God. Amen? Then life is a series of problems. Look at this. And I preached on this not too long ago. Life is a series of problems. Either you're in one now. Most of us are in one now. How many's in one now? Yeah, baby. Or you're just coming out of one. Or you're getting ready to go in another. In other words, it never ends. Life is a continued challenge. Life is a continued problem. Life is continued trials and sufferings. It never ends. It won't end till Jesus takes us home. The reason for that, God is more interested. I love what he said here, Mark. The reason that for this, that God is more interested in your character than your comfort. You know, Brother Mike's he's a captain in the Air Force, and he'll tell you on a soldier, they like to see how soldiers react under pressure. You know, you can find the character of man, how they act under pressure, or when they're by themselves, when no one else is looking. Hello. That shows if you got character or not. Do you do those? Well, no one can see me, so I can do it. Well, character says I wouldn't do it no matter if anybody can see me or a whole group of people can see me. By the way, God sees us always. The reason for that is God is more interested in your character than your comfort. God's more interested in making your life holy than making your life happy. I like that. He says, as Scripture says over in Peter, as he is holy that called you, be ye holy. God wants us to be like him. We can be reasonably happy here on earth, but that's not the goal of life. The goal is to grow in character and Christ-likeness. He's got that right, don't he? This past year, he's been the greatest year of my life. By the way, I got on his website. This guy is walking through the tulips, and he believes in mid-tribs and all kinds of stuff. And trust me, don't let this go any farther than this poem, okay? Please, you got to do something to get saved. And oh, boy. So anyways, this past year has been the greatest year of my life, but also the toughest. My wife, Kate, getting cancer. I used to think that life was hills. I like this. Look what he says here. I used to think that life was hills and valleys. And I used to preach that, but you know what? This guy's got a truth here. You go through a dark time, then you go through the mountaintops, back and forth. I don't believe that anymore. He said, rather, I believe being in hills and valleys, I believe that it's kind of like two rails on a railroad track. At all times, you have something good and something bad. In other words, all the time, you got two tracks in your life. Some things are going for you are good, and some are going bad. You know, that's about the truth, too. You see, it's not always all good and all bad. There's even in the bad, there's some good. And even when there's good, there's some bad in it. No matter how good things are in your life, there's always something bad that needs to be worked on. Are you still with me on this little paper? And no matter how bad things are in your life, there's always something you could thank God for. Talking about Thanksgiving now. I thought this was good for Thanksgiving. You know, I don't know what all you're going through, and everyone's got problems and heartaches and sorrows and pressures and stress. But you know what? If you'll just search your heart, in the midst of all those problems, God's still good. And there's got to be something we could thank God for. If anything, your salvation, you could thank Him for your life, for your family. There's got to be something you could thank for. You can focus on your purposes, or you can focus on your problems. How many see that? If you focus on your problems, you're going to be into self-centeredness, which is my problem, my issues, my pain. Boy, he hit right on the target, didn't he? But one of the greatest ways to get rid of those pains is to get your focus off yourself and onto God and others. I wrote right down there, Matthew 27:42. It says, Jesus saved others, but himself he could not save. You know, you ever think about Jesus? He helped others, he did for others, he gave to others, he died for others, but himself he couldn't save. You know what our life ought to be? We ought to be helping others, caring about others, doing for others. By the way, when you get caught up in others, you forget about what your problems are. They don't go away, but you don't focus on them as much. You have learned to deal with both the good and the bad of life. You have to learn to deal with both the good and bad in life. Life's not a bed of roses. And Christians, we got to realize, even though we're saved, there's still going to be all kinds of problems. By the way, you know we're going to have problems to the day we die? We're going to have problems till we get to heaven. I noted this. We discover quickly that in spite of the prayers of hundreds of thousands of people, God was not going to heal Kay or make it easy for her. He said, man, my wife's dying with cancer, and you know there's hundreds of thousands of prayers, it don't look like God's going to heal her. Does that make God bad? No. No. I want to show you something. Look at Genesis 3:17 real quickly. You've got to get this. Genesis 3:17. Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto thy voice of thy wife, thou hast eaten of the tree which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow. Brother David brought a great message on sorrow Sunday night, and comfort. We're going to have sorrow all the days of our life. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. How many see that? God pronounced judgment on Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Look up here. You got to get this. And by the way, I'll show you one. My mama died of cancer. I held my mama in my arms. I watched my mama go down 60 pounds. My mama was one of the sweetest little ladies you ever could meet in your life. About the size of Lizzie. About 4'10". How tall are you, Lizzie? That's about my mama. A little bit lower, shorter than 5 foot. Real tiny. My mom loved every. My mom used to hug people. My dad was a rough and tough guy. He was a paratrooper, airborne. But my mom was just a real loving little lady. Loved everybody. In Toledo, I prayed for people that had cancer, and God healed miracle healings on these people. My family, my folks knew all about. People came to me from everywhere to have me pray for them because they saw God do miracles for people. But when it came down to my own mother, as much as I prayed harder for my mother than I did anybody else. I couldn't turn the tide for my mother. My sister and my family just said, we don't know what's wrong. You can pray down there. Why doesn't God heal our mom? He did it for other people. When you pray, why don't he do it? I said, you don't understand. God is sovereign. He can do anything he wants. And there's a purpose. But look up here. The reason little Madison died, one of our babies here, little Madison, I thought about it the other day. The reason your family has died, the reason you're going to die unless Jesus comes back in the rapture before you die. And he's coming back. I just don't know when he's coming. The reason you get sick, the reason grandma's getting old, there's a curse. It's got nothing to do with God not loving us. All men, all women, all babies are subject. The moment they're born, wherefore, Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin in the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all sin. We've got the curse of death. We look at death. We've got the curse of disease, sorrow, sickness. It's never going to be gone because there's a curse on this world. And so until then, Brother Brett, we're going to see little kids tortured and die, and we're going to see people die and all kinds of things. You say, why? It's got nothing to do with God's love. God's love is 3 John 3:16. He came down so we can have eternal life. Every person dies because of the curse. When you get sick, it's because of the curse. It's got nothing to do with God. You want to blame somebody, go back to the Garden of Eden and say, Adam, you dirty, rotten, no good dog, you're worse than a Cleveland Brown. I can't think of anything lower to call him. You're a loser, Adam. Because he brought all this on us. Look at Revelation 22:3, though. In Revelation 21:1, he makes a new heaven, new earth. Look at 22:3 of Revelation. And there shall be no more curse. How many see 22:3? Brother Mike, Katie, one day we're going to a place where there's not going to be no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness. Why? Because the curse is going to be taken off. So you say, how could this happen? And you say, well, God must not love those people. How could those children die? Or how could he die? Or how could she die? Why did Sam Goble's wife get killed in a car accident years ago? Pastor Sam, who I loved a lot. Sam must have did something real bad, or she must have did something. No, we live in a world that's cursed. And it's going to be cursed until the day Christ takes it off. And by the way, when he takes it off, he's going to burn this whole earth's going to be burned up. It's going to make a new heaven, new earth. And so don't ground and say, God, I blame you for this. It's not his fault. Man brought it upon himself. Are you still with me? Look at that scripture. We discover quickly that in spite of prayers, hundreds of thousands, God's not going to heal Kay. But I disagree. God might intervene and heal. You know, he don't think, but there's a possibility God could intervene. And I never give up till the person dies. When Melinda Lamb, the day before she died, I said, no, God's going to heal you. And I begged God that day. And I went home believing God was going to give her a miracle. When they told me Melinda died, I couldn't believe it. That's how dogmatic I was that God was going to heal her. And I'm not usually wrong like I was there, but I was wrong. But you know what? When God's fault at all, it was time for Melinda to come. By the way, she wouldn't come back if she could. But God gets blamed for everything in this life, and we're so stupid as Christians. We think, yeah, God must. Boy, I don't know what I did wrong. Some of you think, man, something happens to you, you say, man, God must really hate me, or this wouldn't happen to me. It ain't got nothing to do with God. You live, say this with me. I live in a cursed world. You live in a cursed world. It's got nothing to do with God. The judgment's on man. God, thank God, one day he's going to take it off. And he made a way for all people to get out of the curse. Jesus took the curse on himself so we could be free. He that was rich became poor, the Bible says, that we might become rich through his poverty. Amen? Well, look at your paper, and I've got to close this out. It's already after 8. It has been very difficult for her, and yet God strengthened her character and given her ministry and helping other people. I didn't get, there was a few more things. There was a couple of things I didn't have room to get on here. He talked about he wrote a book. He made millions of dollars on this book he wrote. I told David, I said, how in the world can we be this poor and being this smart? That's ridiculous. These guys that don't even know their Bible, millionaires, unbelievable. I don't get it, Rod. We need to ask ourselves, am I going to live? But I like what he wrote here. Let's look at this. We need to ask ourselves, am I going to live for possessions and popularity? Am I going to be driven by pressures, guilt, bitterness, materialism? Or am I going to be driven by God's purposes for my life? We got to be driven for God's purposes for our life. When I get up in the morning, I sit on the side of my bed and say, God, if I don't get anything else done today, I want to know you more and love you better. And that ought to be our heart. God, I want to know more about you, more of you, and I want to love you more. Amen? God, I really like this. Oh, man, I love. I've done this. How many ever made lists to do for tomorrow? I'll write down checklist, the things to do tomorrow. How many have ever done that? I have. Lots of times. God didn't put me on earth just to fulfill, to do a to-do list. He's more interested in what I am than what I do. I like that. God's more interested in what I am than what you do. Hello, anybody still home? And that's why we're called human beings, not human doings. Amen? Happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God. Scripture says in Psalm, let everything has breath, praise ye the Lord. Psalms 150. Hope you think about that little truth there. And I want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. And let's not get bitter with things. Let's get better. Let's not complain. Let's praise. Amen? And let's not look down. Let's look up. Oh, I'm telling you, we've got a lot to praise him for. And he's coming back soon. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. You know what's amazing, D? This life is all messed up, and I've had a blast. Jeannie, what am I going to do when I get to heaven? If I've salvaged this crummy one, what am I going to do? Yabba-dabba-doo, bud! We'll be playing ball! Play ball! And I think we'll get to play and hit them back there like we used to, bud, when we were young. Amen? You're going to throw that heavenly spitball, maybe, amen, or something. Or the Gabriel knuckle, or something like that. I don't know. Isaiah drop ball. I don't know, but I know one thing. And you girls, and I'll let you go. Girls love jewelry. Girls, you love jewelry. When you read about the gates and things in heaven, all the streets of gold, gates of pearl, then all the carbuncle, and all the pearl, and all the different colors, all the colors in the world, you girls are going to go, wow, this beats sex. This beats Jared. Jared, is it? God took you better than Jared. Whatever that name of that diamond place is, or whatever they call them. The jewelry store. Are you still with me? Yeah, they'll probably be Walmart. It's always going to be here everywhere you go. No, I'm kidding you. There's not going to be no Walmart. Amen. No tears. How many are glad you're saved? Say amen. I hope you have a great day tomorrow. In that great day tomorrow, lift up your heart to God. And say, Lord, thank you. Not as he blessed us now, but we've got trillions on top of trillions of eternity of years to be with him. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. Sing it with me. I'm going to live forever. I'm gonna die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm gonna live. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings of life. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, but Lord, I believe every day, Lord, it's more than a little bird called a turkey and some stuffing. Lord, Thanksgiving ought to be in our heart every day for all the many things that you've done for us. And Father, what you're going to do for us. So we want to tell you thank you tonight for loving us and saving our soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. Thank you, Lord, for making us whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great grace. And Lord, just thank you for all eternity which you're going to give to us. And Father, I just pray tonight, if there'd be anyone here that doesn't know you, help them to trust you tonight. Help them to get prepared to meet God. Help them know that this life is a preparation of getting ready to prepare to meet God. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed right before we go home tonight, how many could say, preacher, I've been saved, I've trusted Christ, I'm prepared to meet God. Could you raise that hand? I am prepared to meet God. Thank you. You may put them down. Would there be any tonight that would say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't think I'm prepared to meet God. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. Include me in that prayer, Pastor. I'm not prepared to meet God. Pray for me. I want to challenge you, members of Bethel and our friends of Bethel. Before you go to bed tonight, thank God. Thank God for loving you. Thank God tomorrow. Use that day as unto him. Lift up your heart towards him. Rejoice in the things of Christ. Father, we thank you for this time we've had. Pray that you'll bless us in Christ's name. Amen. We'll stand. We'll sing one verse. One verse. If no one comes, we're closed. But if you'd like to come, you come. What page am I, Mark? 405. You want to pray? You come. You come. God bless our children. Sing one more verse, people are praying.